so faithful. I want you to know that we've been talking about, and the theme of this year is what the Lord spoke to me in probably mid-December, that 2024 is a year of change, right? And we're believing for change on a big scale, but God's wanting to do a change in you and in me. And there were only a few of us here Wednesday night, but Janine gave a message that was awesome. It was awesome. And if you miss a message and you want to go back and hear it, you know, it's YouTube or Facebook, you know, you can go and pull them back up. But I'm not going to preach your message. But one of the things that she said, and it just struck me so hard, why do we want to change? Why does God want us to change? Here's the answer. God wants us to change so that we're a better representative and we're more like Jesus. So that the world can see Jesus in a clear message through us. There it is, right? God wants us to change because He wants us to be a better reflection of Jesus on the earth. Come on, isn't that awesome? Did you know that when you're here, you're His hands, you're His mouthpiece, you're His feet? That's why He says, you know, a believer can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. A believer can speak in new tongues. A believer can pray for the sick and cast out devils. Why? Because we're Jesus. I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but we're the body of Christ on the earth. Amen? And He's not powerless. Let me say that again. He's not powerless. He's not powerless. The Lord spoke to me too. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. We'll get to the message, but the Lord's been speaking to me about taking the limits off of God. That I have limited God. I have how? In my not seeing Him as big as He is. When we say, "We exalt Thee," that's not just a pretty song. That's not just a worshipful song. What they're saying is, "I make You bigger." Yeah. Right? Because when I can see Him bigger, I can believe Him for bigger things. And again, it's not just about me. It's so that I can be that witness that He wants me to be. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. We're talking about the roadmap to change. We've been on that for a little while. I've been off and on, so it's been carrying on a little bit longer than I'd anticipated, but that's okay. We first of all talked about that you have to identify what God wants to change in you. And He said, if you seek Me, you'll find Me. Right? And David, again, he said, "Lord, examine my heart and see if there's anything in there that You want changed." And so that's the first step, is that we have to examine our heart. And when the Lord speaks to you, then you got to come up with a plan. You know, you got to write a vision. You got to say, "Lord, this is what my plan is. You put on my heart to be nicer to people than I was last year. And so what's the plan for that?" Right? And then once you have the plan in place, it's one thing to put something down on a piece of paper. The next step is you have to implement the plan. You can't be just a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer of the word. In other words, Lord, I've got the plan. This is great. You know, I'm going to build my muscles up by 40% this year. And you never pick up a weight. You never do anything. You know, that's just a dream. It's a wish. Change will never come. So we have to put into practice what God is telling us to do. Amen? Amen. And so that's implementing. But today I want to talk to you a little bit about getting accountability in your life to the change. Right? we need to be accountable to ourselves, right? And to God. But sometimes we need to find a partner to be accountable to. And if we don't have a partner to be accountable to, our old flesh can justify most everything. Well, I would have, I could have, I should have, but God understands, you know, His mercy and grace. And it's all there. I'm not talking necessarily about performance, but I'm saying, God, we're into change. I don't want to talk about change anymore. I don't want to, you know, just be one of those who go, change, rah, rah, rah. I want to see change. And a tool that God wants to use is accountability partners. Now, for some of us, that might be a little scary. Why? I've trusted people before, right? And they let me down, right? Well, you got to get over that. Because change is really not about you. It's about God working in you. And if you seek God for an accountability partner, He'll bring you one. It could be a brother, could be a sister, could be, you know, someone you're married to. It could be somebody on the phone. It could be anybody. But Lord, bring us to that place. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Have you ever thought about this? Iron sharpens iron. How is that possible? You rub one piece of iron across the other piece of iron. If you're sharpening a knife, it might be a stone that you're trying to get that edge with, right? But here's some characteristics about iron when it's being sharpened. The hardness of the iron determines how you sharpen it and how you care in what you're with sharpening it. But the other thing is that iron going against iron brings friction. What does that mean? That we have to allow our accountability partner to say some things that might rub us the wrong way. You have to allow people in your life to say, Bruce, you're screwing up. Or you say, well, I think this, and you go, sorry. Give me chapter and verse for that, because that's not what the Bible says. That's not. So iron sharpening iron is not always something, this is my bro. Right? This is my best friend. These are the people that I talk to in the morning. But are you allowing them to talk into you? See, accountability is with somebody that's going to help you change, is somebody that can talk into you. Right? And sometimes it's encouraging. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this. But at other times it's get off your lazy bum and get to work. You know, quit the excuses. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if we're going to have accountability, we've got to, and this is even true with the Lord. You know, the Lord wants to speak into your life, and the Bible says those that He loves, He chastens. What does that mean? He disciplines. He sharpens. And when He does that, the Bible even talks about when your father, it doesn't seem like it's pleasurable in the moment. But if you'll allow that to take its course, it's developing you the character that will help you later in life. Right? Iron sharpens iron. That's cool. But the process of ironing sharpened iron is not always comfortable. You don't always get the Holy Ghost goosebumps. Sometimes you get mad. And you go back and think about it and you pray about it. And if you're open to the Lord, He's going to say, I sent Him to you. I sent her to you. What are you going to do about it? Right? And if you'll allow God to use other people, He may even use people you don't like. He may even use non-believers. Right? He may even use your children. Right? I didn't have to do it often. Maybe I should have done it more. But there were times I had to ask my kids when they were growing up for my forgiveness. Because I didn't do something right. Because I was selfish in doing it. Because I was, you know, but God changed me in that effort. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we want change, we've got to be accountable for our actions. And if those actions are a pattern that we've developed over the years, then we have to say, okay, I've got to break that pattern. So I'm going to allow you to speak into my life when I'm breaking that pattern. Let me just give you an example. Maybe you're a person that is always, always negative. You know, every your line is, you got the cloud over you, and it's just, you know, and God is saying, man, I want to change your attitude. And so you get your accountability partner, and you say something, and say, you're going down the wrong path. Shut up. You know, just shut up. That's how I feel. Did you know Christians aren't supposed to go by how they feel? I mean, at times, feelings, there's nothing wrong with feelings, but when feelings are outside of the boundary of what God's Word says, then we have to tell our feelings to shut up. And God just might use your accountability partner to tell you, shut up. Do you hear where I'm going? It's like, okay. Why? Because that accountability partner, if you have a good one, if you have the right one, their heart is after your good, not after your harm. How many marriages have been destroyed because one person or both people wouldn't allow themselves to be accountable to their partner? How many relationships have been ruined because there's no accountability to there? You know, when I talk to people about getting married, I say, here's one of the aspects. What you're saying is that you want to become one flesh or one heart, right? And so what you're saying is, I'm going to trust you. Here's my heart. And I'm taking your heart. And as far as it's up to me, with everything that I'm in, that I will promise you that deliberately I would never do anything to harm your heart. I might make mistakes and it injure your heart, but know that in my heart it was never my intent to do so. Right? And if you can get that feeling inside of you with an accountability partner, then you can trust them when they speak into your life. Right? Glory to God. You say, well, I'm not married, or I'm not this, or I'm not... I think God is big enough to bring you somebody. Right? And then again, a next stage of it, like I said, is that we need to allow everybody. So... in ironing sharpened iron, it brings closeness, right? Because iron can't sharpen iron if they're miles apart. They have to be together, right? Okay, iron sharpening iron. It brings friction, and then it brings hardness. What do I mean by that? I'm not a metallurgist, but I worked with metal for many years. And there was always a hardness factor on the steel that you brought. And how hard it was determined how you worked with it. Right? And if it was really hard, really super hard, if you dropped it, it could break. Right? So iron sharpening iron, you have to test the hardness. Sometimes when you're an accountability to people, you can't be as blunt as with other people. Right? You have to work with that and work where they're at and bring them along. right? But the object is, I can trust you. And sometimes trust is built. It's not just given, right? So you trust him with a little and a little more and a little more and a little more. But if you are somebody's accountability partner, you need to keep your mouth shut to anybody else. If they tell you something and your feeling is, I want to let this person know what's going on so they can pray with us, that's not your story to tell. You hear what I'm saying? Because your use as an accountability partner will absolutely be stymied when it gets back to them that you said something. And trust me, it will get back to them. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we have to temper ourselves. Now look back in Proverbs 27 and verse 9. It says, ointment and perfume delight the heart. The sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Now that sounds pretty syrupy. But really, I think the heart of what it's saying is when you're coming from the standpoint of love, somebody can hear what you're saying. And when they hear what you're saying, that gives them an opportunity to change. Right? Because what's this year all about? Change. Right? And again, I've said change isn't change until there's change. Right? I mean, that's really deep, isn't it? But think about that. Change isn't change because you want to change. Change isn't change because somebody said you should change. Change isn't change because you think it's a good idea. Change is change when you change. Right? I don't know when the number of I'm sorry it gets to. Because, you know, you can cut people slack for a while. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Oh, darn it, I did it again. Forgive me. But after about, you know, whatever, I'll just say 10 times, the person that you're saying I'm sorry to, you just go, Yeah, right. Whatever, right? But here's what I'm saying is that we need to be kind, but sometimes kindness is not all sweetness. It's sometimes kindness is, listen, I got to tell you this. I don't really want to tell you this, but I got to tell you this. You were wrong. You were wrong. The way you answered her, the way that you talked to her, the way that you did that, it was wrong. Right? And if we're that, if we want to be an accountability partner, I believe God will give us different ways to say that. Years ago, when I was in a situation as the pastor that I had to, there were some things that I had to change, and some people were coming into the church with some doctrines that were just messed up, right? And I said, God, how do I do this? And he told me, well, first you teach, and then you admonish, and then you rebuke. Okay. So I was able to take the Word of God and teach the Word of God. I never got to the admonishment part or the rebuking part in that case, because after I was teaching on this for a few weeks, the people that were offended or just with the wrong thing, they came, oh, I guess what we were feeling was not a demon, it was my flesh. I said, isn't that nice? Right? But here's the point, is that sometimes when we're being an accountability partner, it's you don't have to go in with the big guns right away. You can bring the Word up. You can talk to them. Maybe you've got a teaching tape that you can listen to. Teaching tape, that's old school, isn't it? But you have a teaching or something that you can give, right? Anyway, so we're going to be sweet. We want the best out of that person. But an accountability partner brings comfort, they bring encouragement, and they bring counsel. right? Comfort. It's like, yeah, man, you messed up, but that's all right. Get back up. We all mess up. Get back up. I'm with you. I have somebody that I'm working with right now, a great guy. But he's going through some struggles. And some of them are really hard, right? It's like you go a little ways, fall back, go a little ways, fall back. But he wrote to me at one point, I said, look, man, I'm with you for the whole thing. I don't care how far you fall back. I don't care where you're going. I'm there. I'm not going to give up on you. You don't give up on you, right? So, again, somebody who's an accountability partner says, I'm in it till we win it, right? And so learning to be accountable. So again, we need to comfort one another. We need to encourage one another. And we need to counsel one another. Right? And watch this. As Christians, especially when we're talking about change that is coming to us, if we're really a good accountability partner, we won't go with our opinion. We'll research the Word of God and find out God's opinion, and then go with that. Yeah. Right? Well, you know, the psychologists say umpty, 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 and I'm not against psychologists, but they're saying, but if that violates the Word of God, I'm not going to give you the psychologist's opinion. I'm going to give you the Word of God's opinion. Because when we come to a consensus on the Word of God, then we can stand together in faith to believe you for the change to come. Make sense? We all need accountability. We all need accountability partners. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I could read a lot of this, but I'm just going to go to verse 16. And it says this. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Yeah. Do you have anybody in your life that you can go to and say, you know, God's dealing with me on this, but I'm really struggling with it. You know, I've got this person in my life that did me wrong so many years ago, and I've tried to forgive them and tried to forgive them and tried to forgive them, but I just can't. Yeah. Right? Have you been able to go to somebody? And I'm not talking about, sometimes the whole church will pray for you, and that's good, but other times you just need that one person, or maybe a couple of people that you can agree with, and just say, look at, I forgive them in my heart. I know that I do, but this keeps coming back at me. Would you pray with me? Would you believe with me? Because I want this thing dealt with. And God's dealing with me about it. So confessing, what does that mean? That means that you're telling the truth to somebody else about something that you're going through. Right? He's not here, and you won't know who I'm talking about. Years ago, I was younger years ago. Does that make sense? I was younger years ago. But we were having men's group, and this gentleman came in, and he said, listen, man, I need you all to pray for me. I said, okay, what do you need prayer for? Well, he said, I haven't been around it for years and years and years. But, you know, when he was into the computers, right? He said, man, all of a sudden, pornography has started to get a hold of me again. Right? I was exposed to it, and bam, it's right there. And you ladies don't understand what a stronghold that can be for guys, because we're visually stimulated. That's the cheerleader that we don't have any connection to that's telling us that we're all that. I mean, there's part of that that's going on. But the reality is, he came because he wanted it stopped. And so he exposed himself to us men that were around the table. And we took it to prayer. We prayed for him right then. But then we asked him later, how's it going? Are you still having trouble? What do you need? We'll get you, you know, I've got this book, I've got that book. If it's really strong, there's this seminar that's coming through town. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like we're invested, but we're not invested to condemn. We're invested to see you set free because Jesus has paid the price for your freedom. Right? So we confess to one another our trespasses with an accountability group or partner. Why? So that we may be healed. That we may be healed. That we put surround ourselves with a situation where that's not a problem anymore. Because we become accountable to somebody else. But here's, have you ever noticed this? That the devil is an abuser. Right? And I've noticed a few things about abusers, and I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I've been around them and I've seen them. I've seen them physical, I've seen sexual abuse, I've seen mental abuse, all kinds, manipulators, I've seen all of that, right? Here's what I find about true abusers. They always want to isolate their victim. I mean, I've seen it over and over again where a man is being abusive to his wife and all of a sudden they can't go anywhere by themselves. Who are you talking to? Let me see your phone. You know, on and on. What they're trying to do is isolate them so that they can destroy them or control them, right? And so when you come to the place where you go, oh, no, wait a minute, devil, I am not going to isolate myself from the people that love me and trust me. I'm going to come to them and expose this abuse that's happened either to me or through me so that we can get it healed and I can have the victory over it. Does that make sense? So again, we're talking about a roadmap to change and becoming accountable to one another. Because if you're not accountable, sometimes you just isolate yourself, and you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But what we're talking about is change that God wants in us so that the world can see more of Jesus. that's good. So when we confess and pray, we trust with compassion, and then healing comes. Amen? I've got to close, but I just want to say, think about different ones. David, remember David? Jonathan and David were bros, right? In fact, it says that they were like blood brothers. They were came into covenant with one another. And when Jonathan's dad wanted to come and kill David because he had that jealous spirit on him, Jonathan went to David and said, hey, you need to get out of here, man, because it's not going to be good if you show up. So his covenant with David and his accountability to that covenant caused David to be free. And then one other instant with David. Remember David and Bathsheba? So the other side of that is that David went through all the thing, had Uriah killed and married out of the goodness of his heart, married Bathsheba and on all of that, right? And he was looking really good, you know. Look at, I'm the king, I did this thing. His sin was hidden in him. But then an accountability man came to him named Nathan. And Nathan called him out. And I will tell you this, that Nathan calling him out saved his kingdom. Because David had the ability to repent when some accountability partner brought him out and he didn't go further into the ditch. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? So we need to come to the place where we're comfortable with making somebody else accountable to us, but on the reverse, that we're accountable to them. I want you to speak into my life. I want you to. Be gentle with me, right? Be gentle with me. But when you tell me something that I don't like, you know, don't necessarily back off. But pray with me. Be with me. Come on. Did y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you this morning because I believe that God wants to give you an accountability partner. And you may already have somebody in mind. Sometimes you need a different accountability partner for different things. Right? Sometimes, you know, your spouse is not the right person. Sometimes it's a brother. Sometimes it's, you know, a sister. Sometimes it's different. Right? Well, I just need this caveat. If you're not married to a person of the opposite sex, they're probably not a good accountability partner. That's true. Why? Because there's too many emotional things that are going on there that could stir up things that you don't want to deal with. I'm not saying it can never happen, but I just don't think that's a great idea. Right? But God wants you, first of all, the Holy Spirit is our primary accountability partner, right? But then I think He wants to anoint and bring somebody into our lives that can make us accountable. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for each person here. I thank You that each one of us have need of other people speaking into our lives. And for too long, Lord, we've not allowed them to have access to our hearts because we were hardened to change. I'm asking You, Lord, soften our hearts. We want the song that we sing, draw us close to You, Lord. We want that to be a reality for us. And so, Lord, we're asking You, God, to come and to fill this place, not with condemnation, but with conviction, God. Bring us to the place of change. If you're watching online and God's speaking to your heart, find somebody. Because change is here. Change is available. You can get out of the situation you're in. You can change the circumstances that have been plaguing you for decades. God is here to see that change in you to be free. So in Jesus' name, we just thank You for being here. God bless you for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen.